Welcome to the Granary Church podcast. We're happy you could join us. For more information on the Granary Church, head to granary.org.au or follow our socials at the Granary Church.
Welcome everyone. Please take a seat. So good that you're here today. So I really believe that God actually wants to speak to each one of us today. As we come on this Friday, that which we call Good Friday, which is actually a good Friday because good things happened on this Good Friday. When we hear this incredibly sad story that we've just listened to, we know it's not the end of the story. But as we come, we just come as people before a God who loves us. And so just to start, do you ever worry? It's a common thing. Jesus said, don't worry, but we do worry. We do worry. Have you ever spent time thinking about the past and thinking of the good things, but also thinking of the things that you regret that you did, or the things that you regret that people did to you, or the missed opportunities that you had, or the things you should have done, and you can ruminate over the past. Have you ever thought of the future, and you ever worried about the future? Do you ever think of yourself and worry about who you really are and how valuable you are and who really loves you and who will really be there with you for the rest of your life and who will really care for you and who really sees who you really are? Have you ever been really hurt by people who really love you and you still really love them? Have you ever been hurt by people who you don't love anymore and they don't love you? And do you ever look at the world and you see all the injustices of the world, all the systems of the world that are broken, all the discrimination and the heartache, the wars, the social systems that push some people down and lift others up, and you hate it. You see the world that we live in, which has lots and lots of issues that take away value from people. You know, there's a kind of love that looks for value, and there's a kind of love that gives value. We all love to receive value. We often love people because we desperately want to be loved in return. It's neither good nor bad. It just is. It's just our human nature because we are created to be loved. And therefore, we're always on a pursuit to be loved, to be valued. That there's two types of love. There is the love that looks for value, and there is the love that gives value. The love that looks for value is the love that most of us know, where we love because we love to be loved in return. Therefore, there's a mutual agreement, if you like. But there's this love that just gives value. And today we're celebrating this love that just gives value, that demands nothing in return. It's a selfless love. Henri Nouwen said this: you are not what you do. You are not what you have. And you are not what others think of you. You are what God thinks of you. You are not what you do. We do like to give ourselves value through what we do. There's something, because we see the creative side of us or something that we're good at, and it gives us a sense of value when we use it, which is good, but it's not who you are. You are not what you have. We like to have things, and that kind of gives us an identity and a sense of value, but that's not who you are. And you are not what others think of you. And some people may think you're great, but some people may think you're not great, and they may have told you that. And because of that, you see yourself in a particular light, and you will be a mixture of that from the time you can remember thinking anything. Through school, through whatever you've done in life, you'll have all people telling you different things about yourself, and they kind of give you an image of who you are, but that's not who you are. You are what God thinks of you. And today we actually get to see what God thinks of us, because in 1 John 3:1 it says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. You are a child of God. Now that might not sound outstanding to you, but this is how God sees you. God doesn't see you through the way that other people have spoken to you. God doesn't see you as you see yourself. God doesn't see you by what you do or what you have. God sees you as his child. He sees you as his child, and because of that, you're incredibly precious. And he showed you how much he loves you through sending Jesus to give his life for you, that you could be reunited to him. Because Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, and all of us without that Heavenly Father are orphans. There's this story of Jesus, it's just before the story we read here this morning, where he was talking to his followers, and he told them he would be going away. And they said, where are you going? And he said, well, you can't come with me now, but you will be able to come later. And they said, show us where you're going. And he says this statement, which some of you will know, which is very famous, but I want you to consider what it's actually saying. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And many of you may have heard that, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But he actually goes on to say where he's going, exactly where he's going. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He's going to the Father, and his aim is to take you to the Father. His aim is not to give you a philosophy of life, 10 rules to follow. His aim is to take you to the Father, that you would be adopted as children of the living God. It says in 1 John 4, this is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. This is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. And it says in 1 John 3, sin is a major disruption of God's order. Surely you know that Christ showed up in order to get rid of sin. There is no sin in him, and sin is not a part of his program. Now, I just want to pause and tell you the three aspects of sin that it's really important for us to understand. One is the stuff that you've done. We all do stuff. Everyone has done things that have brought pain and sorrow into the world. Sometimes you've done it intentionally, and sometimes it's unintentional. I was doing with our staff last week, thing on our strengths, and then you look over and you see your weaknesses. And one of my strengths is being analytical, and you flip it over, and one of the weaknesses of being analytical is picky. And I had this shock when I was looking at it, and I said, see, sometimes you don't realize your weaknesses, because I said, I'm analytical, but I've never thought of myself as being picky. And all the staff laughed. I thought, oh, they all think I'm picky. And then I remembered my lovely husband has reminded me of that before. Yes, I can be picky, but I don't see it as a weakness. I see it as analytical and great attention to detail. And I still can't see it's a problem. But it annoys some people. So because I'm not totally perfect, I annoy people without even realizing I'm annoying them. And guess what? You do too. You do too, with very good intentions for what you're doing. You annoy people with what you're doing. Because our sin is not just that we intentionally go out and do wrong things. Our sin is that we're created in the image of God, but we're not fully like him. Therefore, we bring pain and sorrow into the world. The best thing we can do is to admit that we don't have it all together. But there's another aspect to sin, and that is the stuff that's been done to you. There's been stuff that's done to you that's hurt you, that's wounded you, that's given you a view of yourself that is not who you really are from the time you were a child. Jesus died to deal with that as well. He died to deal with the things that have come upon you that have hurt you. And can you think of what they are even as you sit here now? The things that have given you, maybe caused you to do things in life that you regret, maybe caused you to see yourself in ways that you don't want to be seen. And then there's the sin of the entire world. You know, when it says Jesus came to take away the sin of the world, that word world is the Greek word is where we get our word cosmos, which means all the systems. And if you look at our world, there are huge unjust systems around our world, and we see wars that are happening as a result of them. But we even in our beautiful country, there are still systems that are really unjust. There's still people that are being put down by our different social strata. And Jesus came to die for that as well, because what happens is that when he fills you with his life and heals you from the pain of this world, you start to think differently, and we start to create systems that actually bring value and love with each other. You know, you may have heard that the verse that says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that word sin in there comes from a Greek word hamartia, which means really the hero's fatal flaw. And every one of us has a fatal flaw, and we don't even know we have it. Like me being picky, I don't realize I have it. I still think it's quite good. I don't realize it's hurting people or upsetting people. And you had that as well. We all have the fatal flaw that we can't see. We all have our blind spots. But what if this missing the mark? So it's also defined as missing the mark. So you have this fatal flaw and you miss the mark. And we always think the missed the mark means you're just not good enough. You're just not good enough. You just got to try a little bit harder. But what if missing the mark actually means something far greater than that? That you were created to be someone beautiful. And John Mark Comer writes this: what if the mark is union with God? What if that's what you were created for? What if it's the healing of your soul? Because do you know the word salvation comes from the Greek word sozo, which actually means healing. Actually means healing, because our world is sad and sick. And we all have aspects of our life that need healing, because either the things we've done or the things that have been done to us, we all need healing. And what if it's the healing of your soul through participation in the inner life of the Trinity? What if it's adoption into the Father's new multi-ethnic family through the saving work of his son, Jesus? What if it's becoming the kind of person who is so pervaded by love, wisdom, and strength that we have developed the capacity to eventually rule with Jesus over the cosmos itself? Let me read that again. What if this day that we celebrate is about you becoming fully a child of God, being in total union with God? What if it's the healing of your soul? Do you have a soul that needs healing through participation in the inner life of the Trinity? What if it's adoption into the Father's new multi-ethnic family through the saving work of his son, Jesus? What if it's becoming the kind of person — this is the person that we all want to be — what if it's becoming the kind of person who is so pervaded by love, wisdom, and strength that we've developed the capacity to eventually rule with Jesus over the cosmos itself? It says in Colossians 2, he cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. So the record of the charges against us, the things you remember about yourself, the things you don't remember, there is a record and he cancelled it. And as you come into this new way of life in him, you remember that it's been cancelled for everyone else as well, and we don't remind them of it either. Because many of us have a record of charges against other people. But when you come to Jesus, it's been cancelled on the cross. In this way, by doing this — because remember, this is a spiritual world we live in — he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Because when you come to him, when you stand before him and there is accusations against you, you can say, but I'm a child of the living God. And Jesus will say, he or she belongs to me. I've cancelled the debts. And it says in Colossians 1, when you put your faith and trust in him, you stand before him as holy and blameless without a single fault. I just find that verse so amazing. When I look at myself and the things I know about myself, but through my faith and trust in him, I can stand before him as holy and blameless without a single fault. And you can too. And that is worthy of great celebration, because our God sent his son into the world for each one of us, that we could be loved by the Father, that we could be known by the Father, that you could be called a child of God. He came to restore your value and your worth. And now we're going to have a time of communion, and the elements will be passed around. And as you take them, I want you to look at this, the little cup you get and the wafer that you get, or the bread that you get. And may they remind you of your value and your worth. And go back to what I asked you at the start, your worries. Think of your worries. Think of your regrets and your pain. Think of your fears for the future. Think of the things that cause you to be anxious. And as you think of them, then look at that and remember your worth. Remember that you are a child of the living God, the one who holds the cosmos in his hands, the one who gave his life for you, who says to you, you do not need to worry, you do not need to be afraid. I am with you. I hold you with my right hand. Look at that. And as you take that little bread, each one of them has been handmade and each one is different. That's an amazing thing. Each one is an individual heart-shaped piece of bread. And hold that in your hand, because that heart-shaped piece of bread tells you that there is a God who loves you. Just look at that bread now, if you've got it, put it in your hand and look at it and say to yourself, I'm dearly loved. And because each heart is unique, Remember that you are unique and dearly loved. And then when you take the cup, remember that the cup represents the sacrifice for our sins and the sins of the entire world, the systems, the brokenness, the pain that you have received, all those things that have been done to you. It's all washed away through this. This one love that restores value to you and says you are a precious child of the living God. So take that in your own time and we will enter into a time of worship. So as we look at this and receive this amazing thing, which sometimes seems foolish because in some way it's so profound and so simple, but it's not meant to be left there. When Jesus called his disciples is a word that we often just think of as in the church, but disciple actually means an apprentice. And if you're listening to the first story, you'll see Joseph of Arimathea was a secret follower of Jesus. And it actually means someone who wants to learn to be like him, to bring his life into the world. So a disciple was really an apprentice, and their role was and still is to be with the person who's teaching them, to become like that person and to learn what they do and then to go and do what they do. And many of us think it's just having a set of rules or philosophies. Not that. It's actually being filled with life, being close to him, learning, being with him, doing what he does. And when you're filled with his love, you start to get close to him and you start to be with him and then you start to become like him and then you start to do what he does. And you're actually called to be an apprentice. And many people think it's just, I believe these certain things. It's not. It says in the book of James that even the devil believes in Jesus. But we choose to be with him, to become like him, and to do what he does. That's the difference. And so it says in Romans 5, if when we're at our worst, we are put on friendly terms with God by the sacrificial death of his son, now that we're at our best, just think of how our lives will expand and deepen by means of his resurrection life, because his resurrection life fills us. You died to your old and you're filled with actual real life. You no longer have to try to discover who you are. You know who you are. You know you have a purpose. You know you are valued, deeply valued, regardless of what anyone says about you. You know you don't have to worry about your past and you don't have to worry about the future. And you wake up every day knowing, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Give me what I need today to be with you, to become like you and to do what you do just for today. And then you put your head on your pillow at night and you go into a good sleep, waking up the next day to do that even a little bit better. In Colossians 3, it says, your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, not everyone can see it, is with Christ in God. He is your life. He is your life. And most of all, we know that God, the very character and nature of God, the very essence of God is that God is love. And you know that you have his life when you start to love. If you're a person of rules, watching others, you don't have his love. But you know that you have his love when you start to become like the one we saw on the cross. You know, when you go through your worst time, you find out who you really are. Now, we heard that Jesus, Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth? And he didn't realize that truth was standing right in front of him. Because truth is not just a list of principles. Truth is a person. And Jesus is the truth about God, about his love, his plans, his dignity, his kindness, his compassion, his mercy. That is truth. And it's truth that you won't get in a list. You'll be exploring it for the rest of eternity. And we all know that when we hit our worst point, the truth of who we are comes out. You can say you believe a lot of things, but when you hit your worst point, that's the truth of who you are. That's when it comes out. And when Jesus died on the cross, that's where we saw the truth of who he really was. We saw truth personified. And so as he's being crucified unfairly, unjustly, because that is what people can be like, so obsessed with their religion that they miss the truth standing right in front of them. And they crucified him without a proper trial, without evidence. He was crucified and it was an agonizing death. And what came out of him? Father, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. That's the truth of who he really is. they do not know what they're doing. And we think, well, they seem to know what they're doing. But the same as you and me, when we're messing up our world, we don't know what we're doing because we can't see. Just like I can't see that being picky is a problem, and it is to some people. But we have this attitude when we're filled with his life, we start to find that coming out of us. That's the truth of who he is. We also see the truth of who he is when we read the story about John, his close friend, and his mother kneeling before the cross. Great moment of grief for them. And in his moment of pain, he thinks of them. He looks out again and he looks at his mother, and he's the oldest son, and he's going and she's grieving, and he realizes that she needs a son to care for her. And he turns to John and he says, she's now your mother. Please look after her. But he also sees the grief of John, who's suffering because he's watching his close friend, like a brother, die. And he also turns to his mother and says, take him on as your son. Love him. So as I said before, Jesus deals with the things that we've done wrong when he says, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. But he also deals with the sin that's been done to us, the pain and the sorrow and the grief and the loneliness and the heartache that you've experienced because of others in the world and systems in the world. And just as he says to John and his mother, he also restores our pain and our brokenness. And he gives love and value to every person who's there. Even the people who are crucifying him, he gives them love and value. That's what we see coming out of him at that very moment. And it says this 14th century Eastern Orthodox writer, Callistos Katfigios, sorry, I got this wrong and now you won't hear what I'm saying. Callistos, whose surname starts with K, he wrote this: the most important thing that happens between God and the human soul is to love and be loved. I want to read that again. I want to read it a couple of times, actually, because your soul is incredibly important. It's valuable. Jesus died for it. It's the essence of you, and he's placing his love and his value on you. And it says the most important thing that happens between God and the human soul is to love and be loved. The most important thing that happens between the God who created the entire universe, who holds the cosmos within in his hands, and holds you in his hands, is to love and to be loved. It's about being still in his love, not being so distracted that you don't allow him to love you, and it's about loving. And so John Mark writes this: you have been baptized, immersed in the Trinitarian community of Father and Son and Holy Spirit, saturated in God. I just want you to think what that means, because God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is community of love where each looks out for the other. And you have been immersed in that, saturated in God. That's what you've been brought into. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That's where your life, it's hidden, and you get to explore it and draw it out. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Don't just be content to read books or hear sermons about this glorious reality. Experience this love and be transformed by it into people of love, because it's here looking at God, God looking at us in love, that we are happy, that we are most free, content, at rest, at ease, joy-filled and alive. So many Christians simply have no idea of the staggering immensity of God's love for them and of that love's power to transform them into people of love, as well as bring them great happiness and lasting peace. If they knew that, they would undoubtedly do what it takes to make time to be with him. If you knew that, you would do whatever it is because of this incredible love. What do you do? And so you have today this great sacrifice for you, and your response is your choice to take time to be with him. However that you do that well, each of us does it in different ways well, but to be still enough to be loved by him, not to try to love him more, but to be loved by him, to be accepted by him, to receive the fullness of his grace. And then you will be with him, and then you will become like him, and then before you know it, you'll be doing what he did, and you won't even be following a rule book to do it. It will just come out of you just as it came out of him in his worst moment. You'll find yourself saying, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. You'll find yourself reaching out to the hurting and bringing healing to them because you are filled with his life and filled with his love. And in Colossians 3, it says this, so if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. See things from his perspective. And what is his perspective? His perspective is looking out and looking up. He looks up to the Father who loves him, the Father who loves him. Remember, it's the Father that we come to. Jesus said, when you pray, pray to your Father. It's your Father who embraces you. He looks up to that precious love. And then he says, look out. And so he's saying to us today, this is how the world changes, with people who discover their value as being called a son or a daughter of the living God and live in his presence and live in his love and then take that unconditional love to the world. And we're going to give us all an opportunity to start practicing that today, because often we come and we gather together to think about ourselves, but today we're going to take that life to someone else. And you'll see these candles around the room. And this is what you have an opportunity to do. You come and look at the major candle here, the big one. And the big one represents the light, the life of Christ, the light of Christ, the love of Christ, the power of Christ. And you take a little candle and you put it in. And that's you receiving that. As you take that, you think, I'm filled with his light. I'm filled with his love. I'm filled with his power. And I have the ability now to bless someone else. And so you look at the little candles, and as you light it, think of someone who's on your heart who you can bless. And then you pick up a little card that's there, and the little card says this, I bless you in Jesus' name to encounter God's loving presence and to know the hope and plans he has for you. I bless you to experience the power of his peace, comfort and healing as the kingdom of God comes near to you. I bless you. A little card that you can take home and you choose to pray for someone every day that they would be blessed. You can tell them that you're doing it, but you don't have to tell them you're doing it. But you have the ability to take the life and the power of Jesus and bless someone else so that we spread it from ourselves to someone else. So the candles are here. And here, and there's some at the back. And I invite you to come forward and ask God, who would you like me to bless? Who would you like me to think beyond myself for and bless them that their life might too be blessed with the love of God? So please come to a candle. Those last lines, just close your eyes for a moment. Just think about that. Just close your eyes. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. I'm going to say that over you now. His eyes are on you, regardless of how old you are. You're his child, and his grace abounds to you. His grace abounds to you just as you are. His eyes are on you. And take your little card, the one that you're going to take home, and you're going to commit to praying for someone this every day. Let's read it out. Think of that person now. Just think of who it is and let's pray this out loud. I bless you in Jesus' name to encounter God's loving presence and to know the hope and plans he has for you. I bless you to experience the power of his peace, comfort and healing as the kingdom of God comes near to you. And you have the privilege of doing that. And you look at all the candles around the room and all those candles represent someone who's going to be blessed because the life of Christ fills you and that power of the Holy Spirit in you will bless someone else. And finally, you're going to get a little jar of oil now that the ushers will pass around. That's for you to take home. And I want to read from Revelation 21. Because a day will come when Jesus will come back or you will meet him because you'll leave this world. And once you have this life, as Jesus said, Jesus did say in this world you will have trouble. You actually have trouble in this world, but take heart, he said, I've overcome the world. And we see that on the cross. We saw trouble that day. We saw the trouble of this world that comes in injustice. against him. But he overcame it. He overcame it through his sacrifice, through dying to self, to surrendering him. So the picture of Jesus on the cross, his hands and his feet nailed, show a picture of helplessness and surrender. But as he surrendered, God raised him from the dead on the third day. And as you surrender, God fills you with his life. But you need to keep that burning within you. And that little jar of oil represents the oil of your of the Holy Spirit within you that you need to keep alight, because it does say that you can quench it. And you need to keep it alight in the good times and the bad times. And that's you are the one who chooses to do that. You get help from others, but you choose to do that because in the end you stand before the Lord one day and you will be able to stand there and say, I'm his son, I'm his daughter. What a gift. In Revelation it says, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. The time will come. You do live in a world of sorrow now, but he himself will wipe every tear from your eyes. And there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And just that little bit, look, I'm making everything new. Just want to pause on that. Because as he makes you new, you decide to go and bring newness to others. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. The very words we heard on the cross. His mission to this world is finished. And he is the one who now brings us with him to the full completion of it. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. What a privilege to be called his children. So I just love to pray for us all. We just invite you to close your eyes. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for being our Father. For being a father who tenderly loves and cares for his children, who draws us to himself. Thank you that through the death of Jesus, we see your incredible love for us. Thank you for doing for us the things that we could never do for ourselves, making us valuable, making ourselves perfect, making ourselves right, making our lives meaningful. But thank you as we're filled with your life, you transform us day by day, week by week, year by year, increasingly into your likeness. And so as we hold these little jars of oil, Lord, we pray that we would be filled every day with your Holy Spirit, that we would die to ourselves and we'd become increasingly like you, that we would receive your love, that we would dwell in your love, and we would take your love to whoever we encounter every day of our life. That just as you cried out on the cross, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they do. May we have that same love in our hearts for others, that forgiveness and that grace and that kindness and that mercy that transforms the world. And may we receive it for ourselves. May there be no condemnation towards our souls for who we are, but just an acceptance of your grace, your forgiveness, and the power of your love. And may we be people who take your light and your love into this world. And may we be with you. May we become increasingly like you, and may we do what you do. And we thank you, Father, that you took such a great effort to reveal to us who we are in you. May we reveal you to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday podcast. If you enjoyed it, either subscribe or follow on the podcast app that you use to keep up to date on when our next Sunday podcast gets released. Have a safe and blessed week.